The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening where we continue here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in our analysis of verse 7, on page 25 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure you're in the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, so that you don't sit here and spin your wheels, so to speak, and trying to intellectually assimilate this information without the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. This is essential if you expect to understand the Scriptures. If you are truly positive, you will engage in this particular application of the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, dealing with your personal sins in life, giving God the Holy Spirit rulership over your life, isolating the sin nature, putting it in His case, so to speak, so that you can apprehend the spiritual realities of the truth of Bible doctrine by divine design. And that is obviously a reason why you have such a plethora of interpretations and beliefs regards even within the Christian world today, is people simply will not allow God the Holy Spirit to assume the rulership role under His filling ministry and deal with their SCAs, and hence you have all these different kinds of interpretations and beliefs. This is not what Paul sponsored. Paul sponsored like-mindedness among his churches, not through ecumenicalism, putting aside your differences, but believing the truth across the board in a like way under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank You for the perfect nature of Your person and Your plan. We thank You for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. We thank You for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who enlightens those who are truly positive to Your Word. And we ask that He does so once again in this vein this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of the Holy Spirit has at least two ministries that are unique to the church age. One is His indwelling ministry, which God the Holy Spirit indwells all those who have believed in Jesus Christ in the church age dispensation. It is different from the age of Israel preceding us, as it will be different following the church age in this regard. His second ministry that is unique to the church age is known as His restraining ministry. He is known as the restrainer, which the Thessalonians would obviously clearly recognize this title that Paul uses for Him in this regards. His restraining, this latter aspect of His ministries, is another doctrine that these believers could have applied in refutation and fielding the false doctrine of the fact that they were in the day of the Lord. And that is that the Holy Spirit would not allow the Antichrist appearance, which is necessary for the day of the Lord, be in effect apart from divine timing. And in addition, there are two aspects of it. In addition, He is constantly keeping in check the satanic conspiracy that is designed to bring about and prepare the world for the appearance to Antichrist at the end of the church age, and hence preventing a premature interruption in regards to the church age via the rapture, as it is by the divine design the one particular outstanding event that changes the dispensation from the church back to Daniel's 70th week, i.e. the day of the Lord, the tribulation. It is the restraining ministry. It is this doctrine that is the subject here of verse 7 that we're dealing with. Rereading the verse here, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only He who now restrains, the restrainer, will do so until He, God the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. As we looked here and dealt with the mystery of lawlessness here, as it is so expressed, is in fact a secret conspiracy to rule the world in lawlessness, in a form of antinomianism against God and the laws of divine establishment, that will obviously find its pinnacle in the Antichrist, who is known as the man of lawlessness, as we saw in verse 3. So this tells us that the fact that it's now at work, that there is a satanic black op or covert operation that has been operating during the church age behind the scenes. And this all in preparation of seeking to get the world in its proper disposition, so that when the Antichrist appears, everything in regards to the stage being set and the mentality and viewpoint of mankind is in place. So the mystery of lawlessness looks to this behind-the-scene aspect of satanic activity that is designed to influence the world at large. And here, it obviously precedes the appearance of the Antichrist, as we see in the words, is already at work. So in regards to this mystery of lawlessness, just pick up point 14, page 25 of our notes. To investigate it, to understand it, the language itself draws attention to the, quote, deep things of Satan, that's recorded for us in Revelation 2:24. That particular era of the church and the message given to the church there at the Thyatira. Let me look here. The message given to the church at Thyatira, that era deals with the rise of Roman Catholicism in its heyday through the medieval period. And this looks at the fact that the deep things of Satan, which obviously is tantamount to the lawlessness, the conspiracy of lawlessness that's satanically sponsored, looks at the fact that there is involvement of the Roman Catholic Church in regards to this whole scenario of establishing this new world order under Antichrist and one world religion of him proclaiming himself to be God. So 15, it looks to occult activity that has been ongoing in the church age. Obviously, it has found its way back. I mean, Satan's always had an agenda. He's always sponsored his agenda. But the highlight for us is regards to the church age dispensation during the restraining role of God the Holy Spirit. So it looks to occult activity that has been ongoing in the church age, pushed by those members of the synagogue of Satan, as it's so called. That's referred to again in the book of Revelation 2, verse 9. It seems still operative in Revelation 3, 9. Again, we looked at that last class. The synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not. And we see in regards to the eschatology sequence, eschatological sequence, the errors of the church, that the synagogue of Satan was in place in the early church in regards to Smyrna, and that looks at the post-apostolic period immediately. And then we see it mentioned again all the way up in the era of Philadelphia, which immediately precedes the final period of the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:9. So the synagogue of Satan denotes a system of worship. It is cultic in its very nature. And the worship itself is directed towards Satan. And these people have an appearance or facade of being Jewish, but they are not, as Christ so declares. So 16, the conspiracy itself finds its roots in the satanic ambition of Isaiah 14, 13, and 14, the five I wills of Satan. And that is to rule over the planet and to establish his throne in this regards. And that is obviously through the person of Antichrist, according to Bible doctrine, and Satan's plan. So 17, obviously, to be effective in regards to Satan's I wills and his agenda, it must find willing and driven people that would make Lucifer, Satan, their god, apart from any surrogate or proxy or secondary religious system. By nature, it is secretive, clandestine, subversive, occultic, conspiratorial, and as anti-God as Satan himself. 19, its arcane or esoteric teachings seek to turn upside down the divine and human order of things, to destroy the divine institutions, volition, family, children, nationalism, and otherwise provide an order of existence for mankind that is free of divine restraint of the absolutes of Bible doctrine, as so designed by God, who is the creator, sponsoring volition, sponsoring the familial authorities and rights, and sponsoring nationalism. So 20, it would eliminate all the divine institutions under the umbrella of an absolute world dictatorship. 21 is behind the current push for a new world order. It has direct ties to all that we see today in regards to the new world order. So 22 is noted in the exegesis of Revelation 2 and 3, the primary organization providing the impetus, the force, to this lawlessness is known today as the Masonic Order, the Masons, with its facets of influence politically and economically. Obviously, it has many spokes, sub-organizations, etc., that extends from it. But the Masonic Order is that conspiratorial organization that fits the bill in regards to being the synagogue of Satan. It is and has been in effect and operating since the early church. And as we pointed out, is still in operation today. And for those who think that the Masons' influence, their activity is restricted to simply the United States, we're familiar with them over here. Obviously, they're all over Washington, D.C. in this design, our dollar bill, and things of this nature. Europe, they recognize that. But for any who might otherwise take issue that is somewhat limited, they need to do some more studies in regards to their current events. And if you want proof in regards to the Masons proclaiming they are Jews, but they are not, all you need to do is get on the internet and look up for pictures for the new Jerusalem or Israeli Supreme Court. And for your entertainment, I brought you a few of those pictures, if I can make this work. First and foremost, here is a picture of the structure itself. I don't know if we can get a better picture this way. It'll turn. Guess not. Oh, there it goes. There we go. We'll try it this way. You can see here the square and the compass. That's the very design of the building itself. This building is already built, took 4 years to build, in Jerusalem. And it has direct ties in regards to the Masonic Order. It is funded almost entirely by the Rothschild family. The pictures I'm going to show you is one taken by a person named Jerry Golden. It's just one of many. Again, like I said, they're not hard to find, these pictures. And he gives certain explanations. He has a Christian background to draw attention to certain things. And in regards to, if I had this on my notepad, I could draw on it for you. But you see the pyramid towards the end right here. That's the same sign you see on our dollar bill. Right there is a dark spot on it. If you can see that, that's the eye, the evil eye. The Supreme Court itself is shaped with an outer court, and this area here is supposed to help represent the temple in regards to judgment, with the most holy place being the spot in regards to figuring out the symbolism of which the pyramid is located. All right? Next here, in regards to the picture, we have the only religious symbol in the entire complex. It's in the outer court. This is the symbol of the cross, and it's the only religious symbol in the entire structure that allows the people to walk on it. It is open to the public. It is allowed to be, if you will, trampled underfoot. This isn't the temple. This is only a precursor. The Supreme Court represents the law of the land. One of the things that came to my mind in regards to this whole scenario was reflecting upon the tribe of Dan, recorded for us in Genesis 49, verses 16 and following. It's my contention that they are either heavily involved, if not the predominant bloodline of those who will have positions on the Supreme Court in Israel at this particular point in time in history. And here, in regards to certain prophecies made in regards to the 12 tribes, particularly here at the tribe of Dan, Genesis 49, verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. So they hold a position of judicial power. And this has futuristic fulfillment. Dan shall be a serpent in the way. Obviously reflecting a satanic obstruction. A horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heels, that somehow prevents, in regards to horses, usually reflecting military involvement, abilities, etc. The law, the laws, Supreme Courts of the land, obviously, as we understand them, can prevent certain actions by the military, etc. So when all this thing comes down, how a lot of Israel's hands will be tied is through the law. That bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. Makes no momentum whatsoever in regards to deterring the activity that's going to go on during this point in time in history. But anyway, that's just a note of interest. From years of study, people looking at this, our work in Revelation, looking at the Supreme Court, you can't help but think of Dan. In that regard. So you have this here in regards to the cross in the building. Here, a picture of the obelisk. Behind it is a grave, a Muslim grave. Obviously, it's a miniature of the Washington Monument. There's a direct tie between Israel, United States, masonry, things of this nature. So that's part of this landscape. If you go throughout the aspects of the Supreme Court, you'll see these particular Hindu altars that are part of the landscape. So you had Muslim, you had Egyptian representative, you had the Hindu representation. So you have Hindu altars that are represented in regards to the Supreme Court building. Now, while there is not a lot of proof on the building itself in regards to the Rothschild involvement, if you look out on the walls in regards to the gardens, you'll find things like this, which, if you can read that, Dorothy Day Rothschild Grove. I don't have it as a picture, but within this particular website, it had a portrait of the new Supreme Court building in its miniature design by the designers. Those who were present was Teddy Kollek, which was then Lord Rothschild, as one of the members, along with Shimon Peres and Yitzhak Rabin, in bringing about in regards to the temple, the Supreme Court building. Then, when you go into the building, this is happening right now, folks. I mean, this is there. This is real. See, Bible doctrine is not a myth. Our interpretations are not far off if they're not exactly accurate. You go into the building, and when you enter in, you see, you start off in a place where it's fairly dark. You go up a set of 30 steps, entering to the light. And this is designed to represent bringing one from darkness into the light, and hence become the illuminated one. The Illuminati, as they are also obviously understood in this regards. And when you come up to the top, as you going up the stairs, there's a large window, and that looks over parts of Jerusalem, represented here, looking out that window. In that regards, you're supposed to be able to see the world, etc., judging over Jerusalem. I didn't point it out here in the previous one. Let me go back here just for a second. There's these lamps that you can see up here. There's six of those. The six lampstands going up speaks of man and his journey to gain knowledge and become illuminated. As you go on, you turn to the left, you begin walking towards the pyramid, and there's a metal strip in the marble floor. That is seen fairly clearly in, I believe it's this picture right there, that metal strip that goes down the floor. This is heading towards the pyramid. It's called a ley line, L-E-Y. Dash line, and it crosses directly under the pyramid that runs from this place to different places in the city. The ley line does, as it is designed and put into this building. It is where the judges and others can stand and receive knowledge and power, standing directly over a piece of crystal with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer, the light bearer above them in the pyramid. If you're not aware of what the term ley lines means, it is in it's lines in geographical places that witches, warlocks, and wizards walk claiming for the devil. That's a ley line. It's impact and influence. Now, in regards to the ley line, we're bringing this out to show you. In regards to the outlay in the city, you have a line directly from the Supreme Court building here to the Knesset, where the Israeli government meets. Parallel, 90-degree angle. from this ley line, you go down across Jerusalem. And it intersects right at the Rothschild Museum. Another 90-degree angle coming back, and it goes right to the Temple Mount, the mosque, etc. So that is the design. Maybe you've seen the, quote, conspiratorial images of Washington, D.C., and its outlay of the satanic star and all these other things. Well, there's something to this. This is the way these people are. They're very accurate. Everything's got to be done exactly because they do all this stuff in ritual in this regards. So the Supreme Court building, the Knesset, are connected with one straight line, 90 degrees angle. So that line is a ley line that runs perpendicular. See, that's the ley line. It's interesting. The author tells us here that line runs straight down the middle of the street known as Ben Yehuda. If I can bring it out here. It's just basically this street right here. He's bringing that out. That's a place where all, he says, the crazies meet. And in any given day, you can find at least one who calls himself Elijah or Moses. Israelis call Ben Yehuda the freak show. So that's part of the ley line, denoting demonic influence, etc., is what they're bringing out. And as I noted, told you, it goes all the way to the Rockefeller Museum, and there it runs straight through the Muslim quarters to the Temple Mount. So that's the map that he brought out in that regards. Now, in regards to the ley line that I showed you within the structure, the metal strip, when you get down to the end of that, under the pyramid, there's a window. You can look up at the pyramid. And the ley line itself runs to the very center of the pyramid in that respect. All right, now going back here. Let's see if I got... I don't think I got the one good picture that showed the eye within the pyramid. So I can't show you that one. But we will go on. I brought out the 30 steps. As you go into the building, the 30 steps. Well, there's in masonry, there's 33 steps, actually. So where are the last three steps? They are located in regards to the library. This is at the top of the stairs going towards the pyramid. And the library itself has three tiers. And those three tiers represent the tiers to higher learning. This is when you get way up in the ranks in regards to a Mason. They represent the final three steps of Freemasonry. And after that, if one chooses to go higher and have been accepted, they enter the highest levels of the Illuminati. That's when the real secret is brought out. Okay, we can trust you now. Here's what we're all about. We worship Satan, see, in that regard. The first tier, he notes here, in the first tier, that law, that library is, quote, only, end quote, for lawyers. Only attorneys can utilize that library in the Supreme Court. The second tier is, quote, only, quote, for setting judges. The highest and third tier is, quote, only, end quote, for retired judges. This speaks of the order of things in the Illuminati as one must be accepted and moved to the higher level before the knowledge of that level is available to them. And directly above the third tier is the pyramid with the all-seeing eye embedded in it. And that's the journey into the Illuminati, see, as it's represented. Now, directly under the pyramid, in the flooring, there are six squares. Six being the number of man. Each square has four sides. Speaking to the world. Man will rule the world. See. In the center, directly under the point of the pyramid, where the squares are involved, is a crystal so that when one stands over it, he or she is in the direct line from the point of the pyramid and the crystal below. Now, in regards to the offices within the Supreme Court. There are five courtrooms. Five courtrooms. Each has an entrance in the shape of a Jewish tomb. With the opening of the door, this would be that part up there, for the spirit to have freedom to enter or leave is the idea. The wall with the courtroom entrances has a curve to it, which the picture brings that out fairly decently. While the outer wall, which you can't see, is to the right of that picture, is straight. There are two things said about this. Some says it speaks to the straight line of justice and the curved line is mercy. Others says it speaks of order out of chaos. That's the motto of the Illuminati. There are three judges who sit in each courtroom, and above the seats of the judges there are smaller pyramids that shed light onto the judges as they seat over those who are brought up in the prison cells below for trial. The judges' chambers are above the courtrooms, and they come down to bring light to those who are brought up from below. And let's see what we got here. This picture here is in the courtyard. There is laid out with these stones. They're brought from the desert near the Mizpeh Ramon, which has the world's largest natural crater. The water runs continually here in regards to dividing the stones. The architect claims to have been inspired from the scriptures of Psalm 85:11, truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. For the judges sit above this courtyard looking down. And then, finally, when you leave the center courtroom or main courtroom directly across the opening, you find the stairs going downstairs. At the base of the stairs, you will find the fertility symbol. I don't think I need to explain to you on the picture. And the symbol of the Masons with a compass and square with the G in the middle. The fertility symbol is always present in any Illuminati structure, often hidden, but always there. So there's your influence of Masons in Israel as it exists today. All we're waiting for is a temple to see some movement on that. But everything else, obviously, the stage is being set. It's getting in place. Yay. And we wait. But the Masons have unbelievable influence. They have the biggest money in the world that sponsors them and supports them. The organization has been in practice in some form or fashion since the beginning of the church. And part of our dispensation, part of our privilege and grace that is bestowed upon us as being members of the church, is that we have the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit that is here to check this evil so that it does not run rampant prematurely. He is still going to protect us in spite of everything else that's going on. If Satan had his way, obviously he had done what he could to interrupt God's plan in regards to the church. So, point 24, the Illuminati, the Masons, this mystery of lawlessness, the people behind it, uses nice, personal people to advance its objectives. Humanitarians, they're often referred to. Money that they give to organizations, welfare for nations, and things of this nature. 25, it is behind the UN and its European counterpart. 26, because people refuse to see this, they easily become its willing dupes. We know, even though they had their hold in Israel, and Israel will bite, and that's because they got negative people in power and will retain power. That is not the ultimate outcome. But people fall into it, into the whole scheme of the New World Order, again with its many fingers of involvement, every aspect of it. That's why you've got to be wise, you've got to be discerning in regards to critiquing and evaluating things going on around you in current events today. Much of it is simply another thread of progression in regards to seeking to bring about the fulfillment of the mystery of lawlessness. And it essentially, as I have stated, it has its hand in essentially every nation on the world that you can tell. There are those who fight it, those who ultimately will fight it, but it has its influence. And the nations that are seeing this and tend to bend their neck towards it in less than cooperative fashion with the powers to be are presented generally to the public in a bad light as being anti-American, anti-US, or whatever. Take it for what it's worth. You can either look at the world and what's going on through human eyes and under human viewpoint, or you can take divine viewpoint, see it through God's eyes, and see exactly what's going on around you. You don't have to fall in and become one of his willing dupes, one of his puppets. People easily become their puppets through the very desire, fleshly desire of greed, money, power, things of this nature. 27, as seen in the world, word lawlessness, it caters to unbridled lusty activity. Moral absolutes are replaced by moral relativism. It is Satan's goal to destroy the integrity of the truth of Bible doctrine. That's why he has such a constant attack that you're seeing now more and more on Christianity, in spite of the fact that obviously Christians bring a lot of it on themselves. But in regards to the Christian faith, and that is he must first attack the absolutes of creation, the things that God has designed to bring about under complete destiny in fulfillment of his plan. And among that are moral attributes, attributes of virtue and righteousness, integrity, nationalism, and the other divine institutions. See, and you start tearing that down, and then everything does indeed become relative. It's up to the Supreme Court. You know, the conservative Supreme Court, they'll tell you how it is. They'll tell you that they had no business making laws in regards to gay marriages. That's not their business. That's states' rights. They'll tell you that a true constitutionalist will. See, all this stuff that's coming about, it's just simply money and people of influence making it happen. See. And we see, as time goes on, a little less hold and restraining going on. But before it is released entirely to explode into its final chapter, we're out of here. Adios, arrivederci. And you can look at it and say, I'll be back. But anyway. So the SGA, human viewpoint, is that which obviously sponsors all of this behind the conspiracy. And it is unbridled. 28, this is where we finally pick up from where we left off. But I wanted to show you those pictures. It's just, I wish I'd done it earlier, but better late than never. Late than never. 28, it is supported by the most powerful and wealthy of the Western world. They're also known as the great merchants, in Revelation 18:23, and the, quote, rich of James 1:5 and following. We brought out in the very beginning of this particular section of chapter 2, that false teachers often will come in, and when they insert their false doctrine, they'll focus their listeners or their audience, their targets, on essentially maybe one or two areas in regards to why their doctrine's right. They are not willing to generally cover all the bases in regards to the particular doctrine. Because if they do that, then obviously they're going to be revealed for what they are. And as you can see here, in regards to the mystery of lawlessness, how much doctrine goes behind that? The deep things of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, putting all these things together, etc. And another aspect of this whole New World Order is the economic Babylon of the last days and the great merchants that she sponsors, also known as the rich, that Revelation 17 and 18, for those who were maybe not here when we did this book, you have two Babylons that are presented. They are definitely distinct, different Babylons. Revelation 17 is a religious Babylon. It is a Babylon who is described as a woman whom he saw as a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That city is Rome. And it sits on many waters, as the other verse tells us. That's Roman Catholicism. Chapter 18 now goes into another prophetic Babylon. And this is a economic or political Babylon. And the economy behind it is obvious and evident as you read through the chapter. And in Revelation 18:23, when there is a destiny for our country, but it's not the destiny that the politicians would try to get you to think we will meet. The destiny for our country is one of complete and total destruction. It will be taken out in 1 hour of one day. Another scripture tells us that it is the army of the north that causes this to happen. That's none other than Russia. You know, the nation that passes laws against homosexuality, and everybody's raising Cain over that. Not over there, but over here. I ain't got a few people over there, but anyway. And when we do go out, because of the finger of influence and prosperity that we represent, the investment, you know, over the past half decade, foreign countries have invested heavily into our country. You can drive, you don't have to drive very far almost to find a foreigner that owns a store or property or otherwise. So there is strong investment, heavy investment in regards to our country. And when it's destroyed, obviously that's going to cause a great economic upheaval in regards to all the other countries. And we see in regards to her destruction that all the other kings of the earth that were involved with her, how they sit back and lament and cry and things of this nature. And that all describes the great monetary loss that comes from our country. One of the things you can draw from this is that God will keep us afoot and afloat economically. Whether or not U.S. will be the international currency all the way to the end, you'll have to wait and see. But we still will be very much of a wealthy nation. And verse 23:18. To get us there, and the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. When her destruction comes, is for the remainder of the existence of our existing planet. No man will ever set foot on this planet, on this country again, on this land, on this real estate. Will smolder from the nuclear attack for the next 1,000 years plus. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. See, the great men of the earth. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, which finds great influence through who else? The Masonic Order. And then James 1, James 5, 1 and following, gives us the the ultimate judgment and destiny in regards to the great merchants, yeah, the great men and the great merchants in the last days. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, your garments have become moth-eaten. All their physical possessions, things of value, have been destroyed. They're worthless. You have an attack like that come upon your country, the most valuable commodity is no longer gold. Or your new Mercedes is food, water. See. Verse 3, your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. Well, gold is immune to rust and water. The metal is. Had gold, metal in water for years, pulled out, and it's still just as nice and shiny as it was. What will rust it is the nuclear fallout. The nuclear impact in regards to this country. And there will be so much nuclear radiation that it will get into every nook and cranny, if you will, of places that people are able, otherwise, as they say, try to keep this stuff, you know, safe. I don't know if you read the article about Germany, one of the countries, approached our Fed bank. They gave them their gold to trust and keep for them, and the Feds won't even let them go in and inspect their own currency, their own gold. And they're going, well, is it still there? Well, that's another conspiracy that's been around forever. I'm not saying whether it's true or not. I'm just saying to you, how can people not help but look and question these things? Feds don't have no reason to do that unless they're hiding something. See. So the nuclear waste will cause their most precious commodities become poisoned, worthless. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Over the years, these people of the Illuminati are the kinds of people that have become extremely wealthy and rich. Behind the scenes, they love to operate behind the scenes. They don't want to be the ones generally on the throne. They don't want that headache. They're behind here. They're pulling the strings, you know. And in the last days, that's when the accumulation of wealth will be unprecedented. And I'm here to tell you, it's not any type of stretch of imagination that some of these people are worth trillions of dollars, folks. Not billions, trillions. And probably even beyond my own scope of imagination in that regards, when you put all their land holdings and all their assets together and what they actually control. You know, they're really worried that Lieberman went under. You know, a few billion dollars. Oh, we'll just get the government bail us out. You know, it's no big loss. When you're dealing with trillions of dollars, no, it's not. So you lose a quarter, but you got $1,000 in your pocket. Okay, well, I don't like to lose a quarter. I'll try to get it back, but you know, it's no big deal. So there you have it. Behold, point four, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you. They, under corporate law and ambition, have acquired and taken over, you know, especially the farming industry. Others before us have given us warning that when the small farmer starts going out and getting bought out, that's when you can expect people start taking control. They are taking control. See, the independent farmers, the small farmers, they're no more. They're barely able to hang on there. Most of them, a lot of them exist on subsidies. See, it's the large corporations and organizations. Other organizations that you know, are involved in genetic mutation of things, and they control things. Monsanto's of the world doing evil stuff, like if some of their grain gets in another farmer's field, they go in and lay a lawsuit that they have to pay them money now because it's their grain, their corn, even though they're not the ones that planted it, they did. See, Keep up. This is what's going on around us. See? And you go, okay, I'll never buy from them. Well, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of things you may not do, but you're in the bowl, man. You're in the mix. So you just live life according to Bible doctrine the best you can. And you pray about it. See? Ask God to protect you from these things, and He will. But these people have brought much depression and oppression upon others who work hard for a living. And these are the ones which have been withheld by you, cries out against you, an outcry of those who did the harvesting and reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the armies. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fartened you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You know, it never ceases to amaze me to turn on a program and see 100 yachts sitting in a cove. When you know these yachts, you're not going to find anything less than a few million, generally, in regards to these. Where does this money come from? Go out and shake hands with the right person and you may find out. I'm not saying to do that, but you have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. These people are the ones that are behind the scenes, pulling the strings in regards to creating wars and chaos in nations. It's no hidden secret that corporations make money at a time of war. You know, so we got to create another conflict, keep our organization going, and hence. Throughout it all, they end up sending people, innocent people, to their death. You know, for the life of me, I still haven't figured out what Vietnam was all about. You know, the more I've thought about it over all these years, I've heard all of this and that. I still can't figure out what it was all about. We was there, could have won, we didn't, we left. What was that all about, 60,000 lives taken? I don't see democracy in South Vietnam. So it sure wasn't that. It wasn't that they couldn't win. It sure wasn't that. So we got our examples before us. Afghanistan, Iraq. Man, if that doesn't piss you off righteously, then you're really dull thinking in regards to doctrine. That this goes on. But understand, most of the people that are involved are simply puppets. The real masterminds behind the scene are the great merchants of this world who are pulling the strings, and all can be put down and centralized under what is referred to as the Illuminati. To what degree it exists in that fashion, I can't tell you. But we do know it's expressed at least under the Masonic order. 29, it has fostered and supported worldwide communist revolution as well as national socialism among the Western democracies. You know, in the 50s and 60s, you know, our country still was pretty anti-socialist. Now look at it. It's pro-socialism. Oh, that's not going to happen over here. We're too great. Arrogance. Pride. I got a good idea. Let's take all of our elections and computerize it. Then we got complete control. But anyway, 30 continually looks for ways to erode national sovereignty, as we brought out in regards to the excerpts in regards to the UN, so as to bring all peoples under subjection to a world federal government. 31, this activity again goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel and the preceding attempts at world conquest and dominations. One world government, Satan has tried in the past on numerous occasions. It all goes back to Tower of Babel. That reflects upon his real agenda, a one world government and one world religion. And for Revelation 17:10, there we have... There are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. The five that have fallen is Egypt, Syria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. It's pre-Roman. The one that is Rome, 96 A.D., when Paul wrote this book. The one that has not yet come is a revived Roman Empire under the rule of Antichrist. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. A little while being specifically 7 years. So 32, now our constitutional form of government has been, and it still is, a major roadblock to its objectives. Now, obviously, our freedom of religion is a great freedom to have. But all you have to do is look a little bit beyond the surface, and you see how Satan uses it. He uses it to tear down any domination of religion, certain religions, such as Christianity. Those everybody else can have their equal say. And then you have the simple distortion of the Constitution regarding the separation of church and state. And you got to get religion out of all government offices. So, things of that nature. Now you just. But this is the lawlessness at work. 33, as Paul is now making clear to the Thessalonians, the success of the conspiracy would prematurely find its zenith if not for the plan of God overruling on behalf of the church. God constantly overrules. God has will. He has directed will. That's what he wants us to think, say, and do. He has his own will, which is sovereign. It's his will that is the greatest of all wills, because he is the creator of all creation. He has permissive will, allowing the very lawlessness to exist in our time. So he has permissive will. And while he permits negative volition and evil to exist alongside positive volition, and negative volition may think they're getting away with it, one thing they don't understand or they don't expect is God's overruling will. God overrules evil at any point, that it puts any aspect of the fulfillment of His Word in jeopardy. Any aspect of it. Nothing will ever hinder the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind. He overrules evil. And there are certain times in history where He has to come in and He overrules en masse, such as at the flood, when you have the infiltration of the demons in regards to the human race trying to wipe out true humanity. And he will do so once again on a worldwide scale. But understand, he is constantly doing it. He's doing it today as we sit here and even study his word. He is overruling evil. You wouldn't believe the people out there just as soon see us dead in regards to what we cling to in our belief. They don't like people like us, these certain times. Fortunately, we do live in a country that still has a great influence by Christianity. And that is a great protection. Not all countries are like that. But he has overruling. And God, as we've been through this, God will not allow anything to occur and happen in our life for our life to end prematurely. If we're positive to Bible doctrine and we're potential candidates for the prize. See? So overruling will. And he constantly throughout the church age, through the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, overrules this push and agenda by certain negative tides in concert with Satan of trying to bring about everything in regards to the appearance of Antichrist in a premature fashion, to do it on their time rather than God's timing. And God says, no, my timing. So he overrules. Then another aspect of his will is his geographical will, where he wants you to be. And right now, he wants you to be here with your heads bowed as our class is over. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.